It's Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell in for Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's Curious Wisconsin. We'll visit a Kenosha track that's been hosting bicycle racing for over eight decades.
But first, online security researchers in Milwaukee say Russian hackers are in possession of 1.2 billion username and password combinations. In addition, 500 million email addresses have also been stolen.
The researchers wouldn't say who the victims are. There has been some skepticism in the security field about some of the claims. But some major companies say they are aware that their records are among the stolen information. In some quarters, it's renewed the debate over whether to get rid of the whole password concept entirely, replace passwords with some more effective security methods.
David Gewertz of UC Berkeley is with us. He is a cybersecurity expert and contributing editor at ZDNet.com. David, welcome to Central Time.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, but there are a whole bunch of people out there with their passwords perhaps compromised, their online identities may be out there for everyone to see, so they might not be doing so well. The question I have for you, since we learned about this story, since it broke a couple days ago, have we learned anything else new?
Well, yeah, we know that there's a pretty good chance that this is a true story, that this wasn't made up. The security researchers who made the original claim are pretty vetted folks. And the other fact is that we can almost always assume that our passwords have been compromised one way or the other, regardless of whether it's this incident or others. Our passwords are constantly being scooped up and are being made available through usually organized crime organizations.
Yeah, so two questions for you. How do they go about scooping up all of this information? And it's vast, vast amounts of data. What do they do with it then to make it sort of saleable?
Well, the short form answer for your first question is that many websites and computer systems have security flaws. And the bad guys use a wide library of exploits to tunnel their way in and capture that information. And it's usually done through automated systems, but sometimes they'll lock onto some very large database and bring it down. But it's usually some small security flaw that wasn't put into place by some organization somewhere that gives them the entry point. As for what they do with them, they're often sold to other groups who then make use of them. And sometimes they're sold in kits with full identity information, including social security numbers and backgrounds and medical histories. Other times they're simply sold as access information that can be used, for example, to go into an email account and use that email account to send spam to all the contacts on that email account, or to send malware to each of those contacts so that those machines can become basically zombie computers, botnets in the field, things like that. So it's really, if you think about it, a giant distribution channel for digital badness.
So as we look at all of this and you start thinking about the idea of passwords, this does raise the question of how viable this whole idea of having a user ID, having a password is. Tell me what you think of the current password user ID combination, how effective it is, and whether that's the future or whether we should be looking at something else.
We definitely need to be looking at something else. The username and password are, for all intents and purposes, obsolete. Not only can do dumps like this grab existing usernames and passwords, they also give criminals enough data so that they can predict how we choose usernames and passwords using something called predictive modeling. So what we really advise is at this moment using something called multi-factor authentication, which really is something you know, something you have, and something you are. So the password is something you know. Something you have might be your smartphone or a key or something like that. So if you're a Google user, or a Facebook user, or many, many online sites now will offer a second way to authenticate, and we strongly recommend you use it, even though it's a bit of a pain to go ahead and do so, because that means that even if they get your username and password, they won't have the little time-based code you have to type into your phone, and it will help protect you.
So that's when they call your smartphone, and then you type that number in, that kind of thing you mean?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. That's one of those variations on what you have. In this case, you have the smartphone.
So let's say that this, to me, though, has kind of a stopgap feel to it, this whole multi-factor authentication. So this will hold us for how long before we have to move on to whatever the next technology is? Or are we already too late?
We're too late.
Okay.
It'll hold on for a while. But, I mean, we are most definitely at risk. And we're finding that some of the firms are looking at mechanisms that bypass individual security mechanisms on their own and sort of do what's called federated security. And corporations will do that so that you are not using a username or password to get into any of the corporate systems. You're using some kind of authentication system. And we'll be seeing that over time, but you're looking at millions and millions of different people accessing millions and millions of different systems, and it's a feeding frenzy for criminals.
So what do you see the future looking like? Are we talking about, you know, more fingerprint types of IDs, retina scans, that sort of thing, or is there something else that I'm missing entirely here?
Well, you know, the Apple fingerprint identification method is one method. I think that, you know, as we go further and further into this, we may even, and this is really science fiction-y, so, you know, take this with a grain of salt. You know, you may see things like subcutaneous implants that are tied to an individual. But every one of those things, whether it's a fingerprint or an implant or anything else, requires a key on the other side to match it, which means that there's always a source for compromise. So this is really going to be an arms race. And I think the fundamental message of this is you got to keep up with whatever the latest technology and security that's being offered by your vendors are and use it, even if it's a pain, and then realize that this is an arms race, that every time that we add a protection, there are people out there who see billions of dollars who want to get through that protection and take advantage of it.
Yeah, I've heard that term before, the whole arms race concept, and it's always followed by – it always seems like the hackers are ahead in the arms race. Is that true?
Yep. Yeah, because remember, we have to defend against everything, and all they have to do is get into your account.
So given all that, it sounds like I don't want to say bleak, but it sounds like a complicated future for anybody who lives online these days, and these days it's almost anybody. Is our online existence, the places we spend, whether it's on email or Facebook or whatever it might be, is it just going to get more complicated and we just have to learn to live with that?
Yep. It's kind of like the first drivers that were on roads didn't have traffic jams and traffic signals and, you know, speed limits. But today, if you want to commute into New York City, you still have to make it through the Holland Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. So in the short term, for the people who have heard the news stories from the last week or two and they haven't done anything with their passwords, should they be going back and doing something right now?
It's always good to regularly change your password for sensitive accounts, whether it's a bank account or your email. Your email is your gateway to almost everything. So if you have password or 123000 as your password, you need to change it yesterday. And make sure you set up multi-factor authentication for that if you haven't. I would say that that's an immediate action that you should be doing, regardless of this piece of news or not. If you're using a weak password or you're not using multi-factor authentication on your email, you should do it immediately.
And so let's say you've already been hacked. And is there anything else you can do except just contact everybody in the world and let them know?
Well, again, you're going to want to clean your account. You're going to want to change your stuff. Most important is you want to start keeping an eye on your finances. You know, check your credit cards. Make sure you contact the bank. Cancel your credit cards. Keep an eye on your insurance as well, because we're seeing an awful lot of healthcare fraud going through this stuff. So being proactive about your financial affairs becomes really important, especially if you've been hacked. And of course, you know, contact law enforcement if you feel that that's something you want to involve them in.
Okay, lots to think about. David Gurwitz, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, we have. I think we've been talking with David Gurwitz, a cybersecurity expert and a contributing editor at ZDNet.com.